Hello, my name is Brandy Walker, and this is Throwing Light. Is that what I say? Or do I say welcome? No. Hello, welcome. What do I say? Hello, welcome to Throwing Light. My name is Brandy Walker, and this is episode 34, an interview with Jennifer Lynn. I think that's what I say. Excited about this episode today. Jen is a very good friend of mine and she's awesome, and I'm excited to share her work with you and to share her spirit. She has such a sweet, innocent, lovely spirit, and I love her. Second of all, it's an interview. The only other interview I've done was with my daughter. Part of the reason why I haven't was just trying to figure out how to make the sound quality really, really, really good. And I've just kind of said, like, screw it. I want to interview people. Not really. I'm still working hard on the sound quality. But I did opt to just kind of dive into the interview world and to make it work the best I could. So that's exciting. It's exciting to choose done over perfection. And I edit it myself. I've been doing my own editing, so I just feel like a big girl. It's a great interview. I love her. I wanted to say before we get into it, you can still sign up for Co-Create, which is the class that I'm running at the very beginning of the year. I hope you will. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You can get more details in the show notes or on my website, brandyglows.com/co-create. All right, let's get to it.
This is going to be awkward.
All right. Hello. Welcome to the Throwing Light podcast. We have a very special interview for you today. I'm stoked because Jennifer Lynn has been one of my business besties since forever, for 2012, 2013. We go way back. Jennifer Lynn is an illustrator, a podcaster, an advocate for mental health and all things encouraging. Her work has been a great encouragement to me, and I'm excited to have her on. So with that very awkward introduction, would you like to say a few words to introduce yourself?
No. No, just kidding. So I am Jennifer Lynn. I'm an author, illustrator, podcast host, and I'm a friend of Brandy's for 7 or 8 years, I think. And I'm awkward too.
I can't believe I didn't say author. She has a book coming out on December 31st. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
December 31st. And it is for... So it says, I was reading on the thing, it says for middle grades, but then it says 8 through 12, which to me, that's high school.
The publishing tween, I don't know. It's for, if the publisher wants to pitch it towards, or not pitch it, but gear it towards tween girls.
Okay.
And the word tween is generally 8 to 12.
Oh, but 8 it's considered- years old. Oh, I was, okay. That makes
oh,
more
not
sense.
8 to 12 grade.
I was thinking 8th
no.
grade. Okay.
No. It's middle grade.
Got
so
it.
Got in the publishing
it.
World, middle grade is 8 to 12.
Okay.
And so it's an empowering book for girls that helps them navigate hard things like bullying or self-esteem, finding their purpose. And there's lots of fun activities. It's half guidebook, half activity book.
Nice. I'm very excited. And I have a few people in mind that I want to send it to. And you
Yay.
Can pre-order right now just on jenniferlynn.com. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And pre-ordering is crazy important for a new author. And all the links are on there. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and then a few other indie ones.
Righteous. Yay. So one of the things I love about your podcast is that you talk openly about anxiety and doing the work, doing your work. And you've been working on your own as an illustrator and now as an author since I met you. Like, I know the behind the scenes, so I know that it's a struggle. But you keep at it. And you have built something. And so I'd love for you to talk about your thoughts on how you've done that, how you've had the success you've had. Let's start there.
So I was raised in like an entrepreneurial household. So I have to, I have a weird relationship with my family. So I don't love giving them credit for things, but I do give them credit. So I was raised where you work for yourself. That's just what you do. And you work hard and you work a lot and you get a job when you're young. And school wasn't super important, but so I was actually 9 when I started my first business. I started making jewelry, and you're supposed to sell to people. So I would make it and try to sell it to all my parents' friends. And then that kind of turned into a jewelry business I had for about 10 years, but I fell out of love with it. And the thing about being an, what are we? We're not overachievers. We're passion people. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you would call us. Workaholic people.
Maybe.
So there's like workingaholic for things you don't love, and then workaholic for things that you do love. And then the workingaholic for things you do love is still really hard most of the time. But
yes, yeah.
You really want to do them, so you do them anyway, even if things are sucking or not going the way you want or whatnot. So I had a jewelry business, and I had 2 really crappy part-time jobs at a car auction and at a call center. Like, 2 of like the stupidest jobs. They both paid like $7 an hour. And I got like yelled at both of them. It was like the dumbest thing ever. And, like a 40-minute drive and with tolls. It was so dumb. Anyways. And I was like so down and out. I was dealing with depression really bad. My anxiety was insane. I was having trouble with feeling worthless. And because I was so built on like, you work for yourself or you work for yourself, like I never slept. So in my 20s, it was like, you sleep when you're retired. Like, so I would work my 2 jobs and then I would work all night. Like, I didn't sleep.
Wow.
On my business that wasn't even successful. And a friend of mine was like, just draw like what you're feeling. I'm like, I don't want to waste paper or ink. Like, that's like a waste. Mm. But finally I'm like, okay, I'm just going to draw something silly or random. And eventually that kind of turned into like encouraging stuff. And then it kind of like snowballed into a business after a while. And people have told me like, I'm really lucky. Like, I found my purpose through that. Like, my purpose is like encouraging others. And my way of doing that is encouraging others who are dealing with difficult situations by being really vulnerably honest. Mm. Sometimes to the point where my husband is like, please don't, why are you sharing that? Like, that's so negative. Don't write that. And I'm like, but I need to. So, so I will. And I've kind of built a business around that.
That's amazing. What would you say keeps you going?
The same thing that keeps you going. I keep like circling back to, I don't know, just the need to do it. Like, mm-hmm. like that annoying need to make it work. Regardless of it, if it is working or if my husband doesn't want to watch the baby at that moment. I don't know. It's my purpose. I just need to do it. Mm. And I need it to not fail.
I feel you. And so you had, speaking of babies, you had a little one in May. Was that May? How have things changed since, I guess, getting pregnant and having him?
Oh, gosh.
Within your business and like the whole work-life balance crap.
So I had a hard pregnancy, not because I was like incredibly sick or had too many medical complications, but I wasn't ready to be pregnant. And that hit me hard. Mm-hmm. And my body responded to that with such intense anxiety. Like, my anxiety times like 150. And on top of that, I felt like crap. And I cried for hours. And The first time in my whole life, I didn't have any drive to do anything that I love to do. Like, it's so weird. I didn't want to draw. I didn't want to play ukulele. Like, I didn't want to make songs. Like, I didn't want to do anything. But I'm like, I still have to get my message out there because I'm a workaholic passion person. And for some reason, I needed a way to intermingle, like, trying to market my book. And a friend is like, I wish we can have a podcast, you and I, where we just, like, interview people and, like, talk to them about, like, their middle school ages. Like, we can have all our friends on there. And, like, that's a way that you could still, like, market your book or, like, talk to your audience or whatever. I'm like, okay, that's, like, a cool idea. So I researched that. But it turns out a lot of middle schoolers don't listen to podcasts. So I'm like, what else can I do? I'm like, I guess I could talk to women and intermingle, like, their youth. And that's a way. And it's funny because originally it started off as just a way to, like, how can I still market my book? But it's kind of just turned into, how can I encourage people that even when they go through hard stuff, they could still come out on the other side? Mm-hmm. And that life doesn't have to be perfect. All the things that I stand for, mm-hmm. I just kind of try to turn into a podcast. And mm-hmm. it's not necessarily all about mental health at this point. We've had a lot of, like, there's been conversation about miscarriages or, like, through the grief of that, or how to get through your family not understanding you, or depression or anxiety or other challenges. So so that's kind of what I put literally all my energy into when I was pregnant. Like, I didn't want to do anything else. There was a lot of days I didn't want to do that either. I just didn't feel good. But again, that drive, that, like, you can't stop doing something drive. So if you listen to season one of my podcast, it's called Rainy Day Diaries. I am pregnant in every single episode, mm-hmm. and all of the interviews, because I was so uncomfortable being pregnant. You can't see me because it's a podcast, but, like, mm-hmm. I had to warn all of my people that I had to dance while talking to them because I was so uncomfortable. That's the only thing the baby wanted me to do. So, mm-hmm. I don't remember the original question, but that's it. That's my answer.
No, that was good. Okay. So you were saying, so I asked the question, how has it changed since you got
pregnant? Right.
And I think you answered that. Now, if you want to elaborate, like, since having him, because he's 5 months old now, 6 months old.
He's going to be 7.
Oh my goodness.
Next week. Oh my God.
Wow.
Next Sunday. Whew. Sorry, I had to burp.
That's all right.
Don't edit that part out. So you asked, how has it been since I had him? So my labor was intense, and I didn't feel like the crazy joy right away. So I was super anxious in the hospital, and I was pretty anxious when I came home from the hospital, but I definitely bonded with my baby, but I was scared of him. And I was so anxious, but I did feel the drive to draw. And that was pretty cool because that was the first time I had that in 9 months, mm-hmm. or probably longer than that because I was losing that before that. And babies sleep a lot. So I got to draw little bits here and there, not a ton because you're so exhausted. You can't, like, you want to do something, but you also just want to pass out mm-hmm. all the time with a newborn. And now the drive definitely came back, but it came back like full force, like too much, like triple, which is really bad because you go from having, mm-hmm. well, when you're a new mom, I'm sure it's different when you have kids already, but when you're a new mom, you go from being your own person to being attached to something all the time, especially if you're staying at home with the baby. So I went from like 60-hour work weeks to maybe 10, maybe. If my husband wants to watch the baby, mm-hmm. like, and if he naps or if he's a good baby, and he is a good baby. He's a happy baby, but he is a lot. He's a handful. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times he's a lot. And during the breaks when he's napping, I need the break. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to figure out, like, do I nap because I haven't slept, or do I eat because I haven't eaten, or do I work because I need to work, or do I just sit here and watch Gilmore Girls? Like,
always a good option.
Well, the good thing is about watching television is that you can usually work while you watch television. Well, not you. I mean, maybe you, but you don't watch a lot of television. But I can multitask in watching a television.
I wish I could sometimes, But, and I do watch television while I clean or while I cook. And it's gotten to the point where Brooklyn's like, why do you watch Friends every time you cook dinner? And I'm like, do you want to cook dinner? But yes, I do watch some television. I think television can be really motivating in the right context. Like if you can get work done because it's like fun.
I have like an unhealthy obsession. I think because like I have worked for myself, solely for myself for 8 years almost. Mm-hmm. And you don't have coworkers. And a lot of times you don't leave your house and you don't see people. And if you don't have a good group of friends, you really don't see people. Mm-hmm. And I do have lovely friends, but none of them have ever lived where I live. So it's not like I'm like seeing people. So TV has what became my coworkers. So I always had it playing while I worked as like someone to keep me company. But now I'm like obsessed. Like I always wanted to have it on when the baby's awake too. It's just 7 months, they want to watch it. So you can't do that. So I'm trying to make my way back to podcasts.
How do you, besides television, how do you meet that need for socialization? Like Skyping online with people. I personally love this. So Jen and I talk on Skype or on Zoom. Probably, it's been consistent over the last couple of months. It's probably at least once or twice a month. And it's been even more than that lately. It's been like once a
week. I'm so proud of us.
I know.
Like we've been trying to Skype weekly or bi-weekly for like 7 years. And it, you look at Skype, Skype tells you whenever you last Skyped. And sometimes it's been like 7 months.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and some of that is just like season of life. Like, yeah, sometimes you can't. But it's so, I always feel like, refreshed. I always come away with new ideas. Like I always learn something, and I hope you feel the same. Like it's like we complain about our problems and then the other person is like, oh, well, you could just do this. And you're like,
just like baking soda to that podcast and you're great.
Yes.
I usually bully Brandy and she complies.
Yes. Yes. Yes, she does. And I think I suggest like anxiety relieving things.
Wait. You told me to go skydiving that one time.
And
that
did was I? Really well. Wow.
No, I would never skydive.
Oh my gosh.
Even if you suggested it.
Okay. So one of the things, we've both been in this for a minute, and now it's, for me, I have the, it's nice sometimes because when people ask me what I do, like I can kind of, I have like an out, like I'm in grad school. And it sounds like really, it sounds like way more official than I actually feel like I am. But I remember well, like when people would ask what I do and I was just working on my own stuff and I wasn't making any money. And even if I was making like a little bit, I feel like it can be demoralizing and people give you like blank stares. What is that? I'm a podcaster.
Well, now I think at least it's a little better than like 7 years ago. Cause seven years ago, I don't know, even in the last 7 years, it's like people understand what a podcast is and they know a lot more people have their own businesses. So there's that too. Whereas like 7 years ago, it'd be like, you do what? You interview people? Why? Like,
Yeah. So what do you tell people when they ask what you do?
So I mean, pretty much the spiel I gave you a few moments ago, which is I'm an encouraging illustrator, author, and podcast host. And most of the time they go, oh, what do you illustrate? Mm-hmm. And then I have to be like, encouraging things, cute, quirky things.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I guess.
Yes. That was so, I'm not an illustrator, clearly, but I always get, so I'll say I'm a writer and people will inevitably follow up with, what do you write? And I find that question so intimidating because I write a lot of things, but there's not necessarily a clean way to describe it.
Yeah, that's hard too. It's like, and then everyone assumes when you say you're a writer, you're writing a book.
Right.
Like, I guess we just only have to write books. Plus, like, a lot of times, it's not like we do, if you're like a doctor, you're a doctor. Or a vet. Or
maybe like, says, like, what do you?
Oh, well, I do coaching and I encourage people and I play piano. And I mean, realistically, if you say, what do you do? Well, I'm a dog walker. I play ukulele at libraries. Like, occasionally I would babysit before I had a baby, and I have my own business. Like,
yeah.
The joys of working for yourself.
Right. Yeah. And you do a lot of shows, right? That's always impressed me. How many shows do you do like a year? Like, and describe what that means for people.
You mean art shows?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's significantly less. Wow. When I first started with so I've been doing art shows since I was, let's say, 15, and I'm going to be 35. So that's too many years of them. Wow, 20 years. I could do 20 years of something. And when I think when you're young and naive, any show at a church or at a whatever, any art show that comes your way. But as you get older, you think about how much time you invest in going to the place and standing there and how many sales you make and the cost of the item after you make the sale. Anyways, if anyone wants to do art shows, like I do teach people that. Basically, so now with the baby, it's harder because we're doing our first ones coming up. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it's going to go with a child. So this year I'm doing more than I expected, which isn't very many. I'm doing two shows, one that I've been doing for like 11 years. Mm-hmm. And then a new one that I've never done, but I'm really hoping it goes well. And then I'm doing something at the library, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. They have like a local author book thing.
Hmm.
And the best part about that is that the library is behind my house.
That's awesome.
So I can walk there. And so my baby doesn't have to come the whole time. Because he doesn't do great when he's out for like, 8 hours or 10 hours, like depending on where the show is and how long the drive is. So we're doing one in Sarasota, which, I live in Florida. So it's like an hour and a half away, mm-hmm. or like an hour away. So you have to get there at 9 and it ends at 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a long time for an infant.
Yes.
We will see how that goes. Like, and my husband's going to have to be on baby duty the whole time. And I don't know. That should be interesting. And I'm really hoping for Indian food after, and I think I may be pushing it. But there's like a really good Indian restaurant. And our baby's high maintenance. Like, he doesn't want to just like sit in the stroller and like look at people. He wants to bounce on your lap. Like, mm-hmm. he has to be active and moving.
Mm-hmm. Could you wear him? Like, you might get more sales if you are wearing him.
That's actually smart. That's smart. People do wear their children at shows. Other people have worn their babies at the show or other shows. So that might actually be a good idea. And then maybe he'll be calmer. That's smart. Maybe I will get more sales. Come to me. I have he's smiley. I have a very cute infant.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So you said you sell, so you teach how to get started with shows. Is that right?
I can. Yeah. It's on my website. But again, another issue is like, how many things can you like publicize like all the time? So it's like, buy this print, be encouraged, hire me for this. Hire me to write this, like put me on your podcast or like be my guest. I don't know. I feel like it's too many things. But yeah, on my website, I have like a work with me section. And so I teach people, or I have in the past, or I can in the future, either all about self-publishing or traditional publishing or doing art shows or finding like a creative path or teaching about licensing, like other like ways to make a living as an illustrator type of artist.
Yeah. So what would be your number one tip for somebody who, I guess I'm wondering, how do you get started in these shows? Do you just search like online? Like,
I would definitely start by like joining. Facebook is amazing in the way where like it's good for community. Mm-hmm. And so there's usually like, if you are an artist of any genre, there's usually like an Etsy group where you can ask people, or any local group. It's harder because there's a lot of business groups, but nobody's in your state, so they can't tell you things. But if you join something local, or even if you're a mom and you join like a mom group, there's usually some moms that have their own businesses and you can ask them. And it's just kind of, that's something we would visit as people anyway. We would just go to all these random things as like a couple, whether we were in New York before or Florida now. And so you just kind of hear about the ones that sound good. Mm-hmm. And I'm super picky. So I only want to do the ones that meet my audience. And because my work is really, it's not your traditional florals and like sophisticated art, I have to be more selective because my art is really cute and quirky and that's not everyone's cup of tea. Like,
But it is a lot of people's cup of tea and it's really great.
Thank you.
So do you still sell on Etsy?
I tried for a long time. I always thought Etsy was like a catch-22 because Etsy changes their algorithm so much and you have to invest a lot of time on Etsy changing like titles and tags, which is not my strong suit. I'm not great with copy. I should be great with copy by now. I've had a business for like 20 years, but like I don't excel in that. And I was never good at spending like hours upon hours, like re-changing things and putting SEO tags in like the way I write things, which is probably why I was unsuccessful in Etsy. So then the catch-22 part is if you don't invest that time, you don't get the sales. But if you don't get the sales, you don't want to invest the time. And then Etsy is constantly changing the way that they take your money and ship things. And it's just too much. It's one more place to direct people on the internet. That's not my website.
Yeah.
So I stopped directing people there. It was just when I was pregnant, I thought like there's other ways to print other objects where you can outsource the printing. And I was really trying to do that for a little while, but I only had so much time before I had the baby. And I invested all that time in a podcast instead.
So how do you sell now? Is it just your website?
Website and then mostly like Instagram, Facebook, newsletter.
Okay. Okay.
And then whenever people in business groups say, post your stuff, I'm adamant about posting my stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
Especially when there's any like keywords like teenagers or tweenagers or encouragement, I'm like, me. Yeah, that's pretty much it. A few shows a year and then just getting out the best I can and just talking about it constantly. Like I'm pretty good at the elevator. Like I'm pretty good at slipping my business into everyday conversation. Mm-hmm. Probably from my upbringing, since a lot of creatives aren't good at that necessarily. Yeah, they're not great at selling, like even saying they have a business. And I'm like, he just talked about horseshoes. You make horseshoes. Tell people. But yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a skill that is important to build. I do feel like I excel more at copy, but it's funny because I'm not so good. And I think some of it is like, it's like a little bit of embarrassment. I'm embarrassed of how far I haven't come in working on this for so many years. And so I think it's easier to say, I mean, I'll say like my ultimate goal, and it is, my ultimate goal is to have a private practice, and I want to do, like I want to write books and speak. I want all of it together, but because that's so far from kind of what I can do right now, it's difficult for me to say yes, that like I'm a life coach, you know, I have a podcast. I think there's something, I don't tell a lot of people in my like real life that I have a podcast. Do you
Why? I tell everybody.
You tell everybody?
Mostly because I'm hoping, I don't know, I just want it to grow.
Like, yeah.
I need to tell everybody. I mean, if it comes into conversation. Like,
yeah,
if,
well, I'm not right, gonna be right.
Like, hey, mama, sitting there with your 7-month-old, I have a podcast. It's more like in a support group at Blue Moon, I'd be like, this is where I'm struggling, but mostly in the context of what we're discussing. So it's like, let's just work 40 hours a week, because he has to, obviously, but I still need to work, like,
yeah,
because we need money, but also because this is what I need to do. Like, I love being a mom. Oh my God. I can't even, for how terrified I was to have a child and how terrified I still am to have a child. It makes you mushy. You just adore them. They're like puppies. Like, but at the same time, like, that's not my only role.
Yes.
And you lose yourself as a mom, and I feel that way, but I also have gotten out of that a little bit, and I don't want to go back. Like, and in order to do that, I have to do my own thing. Like, but that's hard when your partner has been doing, you know, something that they may not enjoy all the time. And then that's a hard balance. Like, who gets the rest? 'Cause like my rest isn't resting, it's working. So then I don't know. It's a hard balance.
No, I know what you mean. I think for me, I don't know a lot of people that feel this way, but I definitely resonate that my self-care is often working on growing my platform.
But do you consider that your self-care or just something you have to do? Because that's separate.
Right. So
potentially.
So for me personally, I told you a while back, I track all my hours because I need to know, I constantly feel like I'm not doing enough.
Me too.
And so I needed to know how much I was doing and how true that was. I count everything, whether it's school, my internship, cleaning, also Instagram, like growing that interview, like this, I would count, obviously, right? Anything that has to do with my own stuff or with my school stuff, I count. And I wouldn't say that necessarily my Instagram stuff or my working on my class, I wouldn't say that that's like self-care exactly, but it's like, it's definitely way more fun than going to my addictive behaviors class. And I enjoy it much
more.
The
one that you were so excited to join?
And I love it, but it's funny because I know that social work is what I want and need to do. Like, I know that it's part of my path. But part of me is just like, I just want to get it over with so I can do like the real stuff.
Yeah, I understand.
Anyway, so I guess to answer your question, that self-care is different. But when I'm like dreaming of like this class that I want to create, that feels like self-care. That feels like fun and like play. So I don't know. But I know well that that balance. And we even feel it because Jermaine right now is working, like he has a ridiculous commute. And like he gets home and I'm like, it's 9 o'clock and I've been handling the kids all day. Like, can you please put Brooklyn to bed? But I feel bad asking because he's been at work or commuting since 6 a.m. that morning.
But you've been at school, at internship, and then a mother. Like, so right. That's like the hardest part is like, whenever I say like, I don't know, I say something and my husband goes, I wish I could just stay home with the baby. And last night I was like, but do you? Because you can't just place the baby places and then do what you want to do, which is what he tries to do. Sometimes he's like, the baby's not content. I'm like, because the baby wants you to hold him. He doesn't want to be in the bouncer or in the playpen or in the, you know, like sometimes he's like, he should be independent. I'm like, yeah. And sometimes he is. Or he'd be like, why don't you get more done? I'm like, because today he didn't want to be in the high chair. And the high chair is the only place where I can get stuff done. Like,
yeah.
You can't control a baby. A baby's going to want to do what a baby wants to do.
Absolutely. And when I had my son, I really felt like a grown-up for the first time in my life. And I was 30 at that point. But I felt more confident in my choices. Have you experienced that? Does that make sense?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of felt like a grown-up when we lived in New York. We moved here for almost 4 years ago this month. But because it's so hard to live there and there's so many more bills and insurance, just like $500 just for me, I definitely felt like a grown up there. And I was like, dang, I don't want to be a grown up. Like, where's all this money coming from? Crap. At the same time, though, I'm like, I'm too young to have a child, even though I'm like 35. I'm definitely, my mom was like 20. Like, I'm definitely not too old, young to have a child. But I don't feel 35. In a different sense of that, I did not feel confident that I knew what was best for my child until he was older than 4 months, like 4 or 5 months. So I would ask people, or people would, when you are not a confident person as a mother, people tell you what you need to be doing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Especially if you have like an anxious personality. There's a girl that's in my group and no one would dare tell her what she should do because that's not her personality. Like, and she would tell you a retort probably. Like, but everyone was telling me everything and I didn't have the confidence to be like, no. Like in this support group, they'd be like, he's hungry, feed him. And I'd be like, okay. And I should have been like, no, it's not time. And even now they're like, you could still feed him right now. And I'm like, no, bottle fed babies are on a schedule. Or like you don't want your baby to eat anytime it's hungry. Like you're not going to feed an hour after you fed it. But it took until like 4 or 5 months to be like, no, he ate an hour ago. He's just fussy. Like, and that's that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I mean. So my obviously was different. I had stayed when I was 20 and I spent all those 10 years feeling unsure and unconfident in my child rearing abilities, even as I grew as a, I feel like looking back, a pretty great parent. But I think by the time I had my son, I was like, okay, I can do this. Like,
but you were also when you're in your 20s, that's like not a confident time to begin with.
Right. Like, that's true.
So yeah. There's something magical about being 30. Like, and everyone, no one wants to be 30. It's so old. And I mean, I guess it's kind of old, but in the scheme of life, it's hopefully not old.
No.
But
I think everybody wants to be 30.
I don't know. Camilo hates getting older. He hates his birthday. Oh my goodness. And he never even remembers how old he is. Like, ever. He asks me all the time. Like, and I don't even remember. The only reason I know is because he's like, half the year he's 2 years older than me, and half the year he's 1 year older than me. And I usually remember how old I am, so I could tell him how old he is.
So this is probably a good time to wrap up. I don't want it to be too long.
It should be like 3 hours. Yes, don't people want to just hear us for 3 hours?
Yes, yes. So I feel like a lot of my listeners are at the beginning stages of not life, but like, they're thinking about starting something, starting a creative endeavor. I guess what I'm wondering is, like, what advice would you give to yourself when you started, specifically the illustration business 8-10 years ago?
You don't have to do what everyone else is doing. Like, and there's not only one way to make a living. And if it's not really what you want to be doing, it doesn't mean you have to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Cool. All right. So tell people where they can find you. All of Jennifer's links will be in the show notes, but where can we go to find your illustrations, to buy your book, to hire you, to learn how to create shows?
So everything is listed in my website, jenniferlynn.com, and I spell my name interestingly. It's J-E-N-I-P-H-E-R, L as in llama. YN, like JenniferLynn.com. And the front page of my book, the front page of my website right now is my book, because the book comes out in a few days, which is crazy. And you'll find all the pre-order links there. You'll find like my podcast link. Otherwise, it's JenniferLynn.com/podcast. And then I'm most active on Facebook and Instagram, where I'm creatively Jennifer Lynn. Mm-hmm. And on Facebook, it's JenniferLynn/nightlydoodles, because there's something about being like an artist, but using your name. It feels weird. And my old business name for my illustration business was Nightly Doodles. And I don't want it anymore necessarily, but it feels hard to lose it. So like, Facebook is like the longest name ever. It's like, oh, you're looking for Jennifer Lynn/Nightly Doodles? Here you go. Like, so that's what I am on there.
Cool. So J-E-N... I-P-H-E-R and then L-Y-N. But that's important. And I think that's a really cool way to spell Jennifer.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on Throwing Light and sharing your wisdom and vulnerability. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. I so appreciate your ears. If you like what you heard, there are a couple of ways that you can support this podcast and help build momentum. First, you can share it with a friend. Second, you can leave a review on iTunes or whatever podcast app you're listening through. And third, you can support Throwing Light on Patreon and get cool shit, including a shout out on the podcast. Thank you again. I hope you have an unexpectedly amazing day.